1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered civil arrests of Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to block passage of congressional maps that favor Republicans. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett spoke from Warrenville, Illinois.
The Democrats are not going to stand for this any longer. We know that we are standing for the people. And so long as we stand for the people, I absolutely believe that people are going to stand for us.
U.S. Justice Department launching a grand jury investigation into the alleged Russiagate conspiracy during the 2016 election cycle. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Democrats point out a bipartisan Senate investigation, two special counsels, and the CIA looked into the Russian interference and found nothing about any conspiracy.
Massive wildfires now burn more than 72,000 acres of Los Padres National Forest north of L.A. Forest spokesman Fleming Bertelson.
Combined with the winds and steep slopes, areas that haven't burned in a long time, is showing, you know, why we're having such challenges right now.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The federal government has pulled funding for a local camp meant to help neurodivergent kids enjoy STEM subjects. Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Michael Notaro is the director of the Center for Climatic Research at UW-Madison. He started the first STEM camp 4 years ago in Beloit and has added two more in Madison and Baraboo. They're geared toward middle and high school students and inspired by Notaro's own family.
And the goals of the camps are basically to support and foster neurodiversity, to encourage autistic and neurodiverse youth to consider pursuing science degrees and careers.
The camps were funded by grants from the National Science Foundation, but now they've been canceled. Notaro says because it's geared toward neurodivergent kids, the camp counts as a diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Those types of programs have been targets for the Trump administration.
It was disheartening. It was not surprised at all that it happened. It was, you know, had a pretty hard impact because it was right before the summer when we were getting ready to start up our three camps.
The Coakley Foundation stepped up to keep the camps running this summer. Notaro says thank goodness because families rely on this.
These camps help their kids develop advocacy, build social skills and friendships. In the last 4 years, we've had youth from middle school and high school age kids come from 35 different communities across Wisconsin and Illinois. It's across about a 300-mile radius. So, and it really demonstrates the fact that families are willing to drive very long distances for these camps.
The future is uncertain, and Notaro is searching for other ways to fund the camps. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI radio stations.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where defensive back Nate Hobbs, who's been lining up with the first team, is now out for at least 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. Matt LaFleur.
The thing that you admire most about him is he's passionate about the game and he loves to compete. That's one of the reasons why we went out and got him. He shows it and he's that consistently on a daily basis.
The team has brought back defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was let go last week by the Colts. Baseball, Brewers and the Braves play again tonight in Atlanta. The Crew winning 3-1 last night. They've now won 12 in a row with Quinn Priester on the mound.
With how much usage that Uribe and Mears and Koenig and the usage that they've gotten is just astronomical. But to now have Quinn give you a break and, you know, to be able to get 7 innings in a game is huge. It's a great thing. Really important.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to be dealing with more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to 63 tomorrow. More sunshine with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself? not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off enjoying the sights and sounds of some of my favorite places in Wisconsin. Guest hosts are stepping in with sharp insights into Wisconsin politics and beyond. Don't miss these great conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, August 5th. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson is our producer down in Madison at Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us as well on what it is. It's still a little hazy out there, but not nearly as smoky around here on Lake Wissota, Brittany, and I sense that is going to become a trend everywhere eventually. A welcome trend. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I was looking at these trends thinking this has got to be the longest period consecutive that we have had this air quality alert in effect, and it is.
I thought so, because when it was particularly bad in 2023, and it was, but it definitely felt like it had a shorter duration.
2-day waves. That's all it was. It was June 27th through 29th, and then it was July 14th through the 16th. Yeah. We've had this ongoing since July 29th, a week now.
Yeah, this is, it's sad, of course. It's tragic for the folks up north, compounded by certain people trying to politicize all of this. But needless to say, yes, the lingering impact, it's the whole difference of, being around a heavy chain smoker for 2 days versus somebody who, only smokes half a pack, but for 10 years, there's a big difference in exposure here, and it's not good for people. In fact, let me jump over to, comments online from Rob in Tigerton. He says, good morning from Tigerton, partly cloudy, 57. Yesterday I had mowing jobs in Wittenberg. The shifter on my lawnmower popped out, and I had to push it onto a trailer and take it to John Deere and Marion. Finally got it fixed, then back to Wittenberg. But he also writes here, I got bothered by that smoke yesterday. I felt dizzy and tired, and now he's got more mowing jobs in Tigerton today. And I can affirm, again, I don't have any respiratory issues or anything like that, but it really gets people feeling draggy after a while, or headachy, or, your eyes burn, whatever the case is.
Yeah. I mean, you think about this is burning particles of whatever's in that forest, whatever it's burning, and it's making its way here. It's inflaming, while you're ingesting that. So be careful. Take it easy. Stay inside if you can. I know it's summer. It is the worst thing to hear. Stay inside, especially when it's so dry and nice and comfortable out there. Temperatures right now, 52 degrees in Wautoma, 66 in Superior and Racine. So those lakes are holding on to some heat. You are warmer if you are by a great lake right now this morning. We're also seeing patchy, dense fog in places. So be careful out there driving. That visibility will clear in about an hour or two. But the air quality alert still in effect until noon. They keep renewing it at noon. I have a feeling it might be extended until tomorrow in certain places of the state. Maybe they'll let it expire in spots. It is starting to swing much further off to the east. The high pressure system that brought it here is now moving off to the east, and it's really hanging over New York right now. So we're really seeing the tail end of it. But all of Michigan, parts of Minnesota and Indiana, and of course, all of us here in Wisconsin, are still in that alert until at least noon today. So as the high pressure continues to move, another low pressure system is building off in towards Wyoming and Colorado. It is going to send a warm front our way, which means more clouds headed our way, more mugginess and humidity, and also more thunderstorm action, especially as we push into the end of the week and into the weekend. So it's going to turn hot and humid. These are the final few days of, if you decided to open your window with this air quality alert, that you can do that. Of course, today we're going to hit highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. We're pretty much going to put that on repeat for tomorrow, too. We do have a small chance of spotty sprinkles far north again late tonight. Otherwise, tomorrow we're looking at some light showers and storms possibly west in the state in the morning, and then more are going to start later on in the evening. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow.
All right. I was deciding whether to finally open up the house a little bit, and I thought, well, I can do it for, like you said, a couple of hours, but then as soon as the temperature gets to, you know, a certain level where your air conditioner would kick in anyway, you know, is it even worth it? I don't know. We'll see. Alicia puts up on YouTube, I've had headaches for a week straight. Started having a hard time breathing. Rob adds, looking forward to winds from the south to get the smoke out of here. So, I mean, we're all anticipating there's still time. There's still time to save summer. The middle of summer, it's almost like, you know, it's been raining all the time. Not quite a washout, but like a smoke out. It just hasn't been the same. But there's still people go, oh, summer's almost over. Now it's August 5th, kids. We got a little time.
Have about a month.
To enjoy the sun. Yes.
Yeah,
so we can do this. Brittany, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
Quick reminder, there's so much more coming up on Civic Media today. Certainly, we've talked about Matt and Air on Air with Jane and Greg following this program from 9 to 11. And then after Tom Hartman is the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. And at 2:30, Todd's going to be talking to Kyle LaFond. He's the founder, president, and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Provenance. He is a member of Main Street Alliance, and he is going to be talking about tariffs, just as we did with Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance as well, that these tariffs are catching on with other Americans in the sense that they're saying, oh, wait, this isn't just hurting, you know, other countries. This isn't hurting foreign companies. This is hurting everybody, consumers, small businesses, small manufacturers that need to import some of their materials to make the things that they make. This is having a wide ranging impact. And Todd will be talking to his guest, Kyle LaFond, about that later this afternoon. And then Matt Rothschild is guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6 today across the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. Learn more over at couriernewsroom.com. Plenty of newsletters and video series and things like that, including a newsletter called Control, Alt-Right, Delete by Melissa Ryan. A new edition is out called The Media Capitulation Index. It's a tracker that rates media conglomerates on a scale from independent to vulnerable to compromising to capitulating, to obeying, to propaganda. The group Free Press has also released a companion report to the tracker called A More Perfect Media with Deeper Analysis. And here's some of what they found. In evaluating 35 different media companies, Free Press found that media owners capitulated to the Trump White House in four main ways. One, through payments to Trump in the form of legal settlements, production contracts, campaign contributions, and other donations. Second, by rolling back their commitments to diversity, equity, and inclusion practices when it comes to hiring and community outreach. Third, through editorial manipulation and censorship, pressuring their newsrooms to soften criticism of the administration, firing staff, even pulling content that might anger the president. Have you noticed by chance the articles that look at Fox News Channel and how if you watch that channel, there basically isn't a Jeffrey Epstein case anymore? There used to be, but it's mysteriously disappeared. And then fourth, media companies are attempting to curry favor with the president during ceremonies like the inauguration, private dinners at Mar-a-Lago, meetings in the White House. As Melissa Ryan puts in her newsletter, as consumers, we have economic power. Trackers like this one help us use it. We can choose what media companies we support with our wallets, with our ears, with our eyes. And so for all of that, you're going to want to look at Melissa Ryan's newsletter, Control, Alt-Right, Delete, and you can get a link to it over at couriernewsroom.com to learn more. It's 7:14 right now. The Milwaukee Brewers have just been on a tear. What is it? Four in a row now, Parker, after beating Atlanta last night. Final score there was 3-1. The three coming from Isaac Collins, a three-run homer. Quinn Priester surrendered a first pitch of the game home run, but after that allowed just one other hit. And that's how he ended up with a 3-1 win over Atlanta. Trevor McGill pitched a perfect ninth inning to get his 25th save of the season. Freddy Peralta is pitching this evening. Pre-game coverage begins at 5:40 on several Civic media stations. It's just fun to watch. That should be their new memo. Their new motto. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, that's true. It is very fun to watch. I will say, it's kind of funny. It seems like the one thing that gets a lot of the starting pitchers is the home run ball, and that's about it. Like, it's literally a homer, maybe two in a game, and that's maybe one more hit.
I could be wrong. It almost feels like we must be way up there in the number of home runs given up on the first pitch of the game.
Yeah.
I feel like we've done 3-4 of those.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was 5, actually. But then, you know, things settled down after that.
Yeah.
And it's been a beautiful thing.
It is.
So much so.
Who knew sports are more fun when you're winning?
I did.
You did?
I knew that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a sense that was the case anyway. Of all the recent headlines here that we're still playing catch up on, for example, there's a new state Supreme Court justice. Did you know that? Justice Susan Crawford. And you'll go, wait, the election was back in April. Yeah, but she wasn't inaugurated until August 1st. That's when Supreme Court justices begin their new terms. And so it was only this past Friday that Justice Susan Crawford took the oath of office for a 10-year term, keeping the court under a 4-3 progressive majority with the retirement of Justice Ann Walsh Bradley. And so now the next few elections feature a conservative justice defending their seat. There are no liberal-leaning justices up for election until April of 2028. So throughout this period here, the next 2.5 years, 3 years basically, the court will be under progressive control, barring, you know, some kind of personnel change amongst the progressive justices that are already there. Crawford is a former Dane County Circuit Court judge. This all took place in what's called an investiture ceremony. That's what they call the oath of office when given to judges, held in the rotunda of the Wisconsin Capitol. Quoted here in an article from Spectrum News, Crawford said, quote, "I'm proud to take my seat on this court. I'm ready to meet this moment. And most of all, I'm ready to get to work for the people of our great state." You will recall that in April, she defeated Waukesha County Judge and former State Attorney General Brad Schimmel by 10 points. And if you noticed anything in your social media feed, if it's got any kind of a political flavor to it, there was a lot said Friday, Saturday about the way that Justice Susan Crawford beat the world's richest man, Elon Musk, and beat him soundly for the tens of millions of dollars that he spent in a race that topped the $100 million mark. The world's richest man could not buy a state Supreme Court seat here in Wisconsin. Again, the spending there topping more than $100 million. And Crawford went on to say, "I just promised to uphold two constitutions, the U.S. Constitution and the Wisconsin Constitution, even when the issues are politically charged, deeply divisive, or hard to untangle. That's always been the job." So congratulations again to the new Supreme Court Justice, Susan Crawford, who is now officially on the court after that swearing in back on Friday. We got plenty to cover yet this hour. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For others, we will be visiting with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12, WJFW-TV in Rhinelander. Talk about his vacation. He's back after taking a little bit of time off. And then later in the hour, we will be talking to Jim Payne, the mayor of Superior. They are kicking off a new network so that folks in the city, small now, but eventually growing to the whole city, can have better access to high-speed broadband internet. Private companies aren't necessarily willing to serve every corner of Wisconsin, and so in some cases, there are local governments that are stepping in and helping make networks more possible so that we can enjoy high-speed internet throughout the state, despite Republican restrictions that were put in place years ago. That's coming up Live from the heart of America's up north from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Wrightlaw.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
National Night Out, Fan Appreciation Night, Wednesday, August 6th at 6:35 p.m., wrapping up the season with a bang. Swing and draw. National Night Out features equipment displays and games from WRPD, a replica police badge giveaway, jersey off our back auction, and a finale fireworks show. Take yourself out to the ball game at historic Witterfield in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafters Baseball and National Night Out, presented by Camber Johnson, Tuesday, August 6th.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this August 4th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. And right now, we're going to talk with our friends at the Port Edwards Fire Department. We have Fire Chief Dustin Leese with us right now. Dustin, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate the time, man. I have to tell you, and the audience already knows a part of this, but I wanted to be an actor. I've been in acting since I was 7 years old, been doing jobs like this for a very long time. But my first love was firefighting. Sure. When I was a little kid in Chicago, our first field trip, we went to the Chicago Fire Department, and I have been blown away ever since. I think firefighters are superheroes. I admire the work so very, very much. And for a long time, we've been looking to have more firefighters on the air with us. So I really appreciate the time and the ability to be able to kind of focus on what you guys do over there. You have some great events coming up we're going to get to in a bit. Tell people how they can be involved. But before we do, Dustin, I thought this is a great opportunity to kind of a day in the life of a firefighter and what it is to do this job and what it is to be a part of this world. And if you don't mind, I'd like to kind of start right there.
Sure. So for us in Port Edwards, we're all a volunteer staff. So you do your normal daily job, your 40-hour week job, you wear a pager. And if you're available to come when the call comes in, we'll take you anytime. I get people's lives are busy and hectic and everything in between, but we have a lot of great volunteers that take time out of their day. A lot of husband and wife couples that are on the department that come, they help, they'll go on calls, they'll do these events with us. Really trying to make it a more of a family-focused environment around the fire department. I like having kids around, showing them the fire trucks, all the things. So like you talked about, you know, when we get into the events, we actually have when we do the events, they come bring their children with, and their children actually help out do the events with us. So it's actually, you know, try to make it a very much a family environment, and then you foster hopefully the next generation of firefighters too, right, to help bring them in.
I know, especially in the city where I'm from and all that, how much of a family tradition it is to your father was a firefighter, your grandfather was a firefighter, and continuing with it and keeping that kind of legacy going with those things. But you hit it on the head too, that what can light up in a kid with seeing something like this, and who knows that where they end up as an adult and hopefully doing this kind of work or volunteering or something. You never know what can come from that. It's part of why we're so thankful when our fire departments are represented at Touch a Truck events and things like that. Anything we can do that, along with, I think, building bridges and making people more and more comfortable, not just reaching out to our fire departments, but you know, being a part of events and volunteering and some of that. When it comes to the amount of people that we have on that on those pagers that are available, how many do we have exactly? With that,
Right now our department is at 21, a roster of 21. I do have a couple more applications that are in right now. So hopefully my maximum that I can get to is 30 members.
Okay.
So we're getting there. I mean, I took over in June of last year as the fire chief. When I took over, there was 9 members,
yeah,
on the roster. So now going from June of last year till, you know, August of this year, we went from 9 to 21 members, which is amazing.
It's
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of businesses out there that would kill for those numbers.
Right.
That's fantastic. And in this day and age, where we need it so badly, we need people in the in good people in these spots. A big tip of the hat to you and your staff and everybody for bringing those numbers up, and for doing this work in general. I will probably ramble about that a couple of times in this interview, but we cannot express enough as a community, as a city, as a state, how much we appreciate all of our firefighters and the work that's being done.
Yeah, for sure. And my full-time job is actually with Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department. That's where I work full-time. When I got hired in there in March of 2009,
yeah,
I was one of, I think, 20 members on the list to get hired.
Mm.
Now when we hire people, if we have enough people just to fill the vacancies that we have on the list, it's crazy.
It's one of those, it reminds me very much of farming and some other industries that we're constantly trying to not only get younger people involved in and want to care about and be a part of, but reminding people of how important these industries are and how much, but you'd know if they weren't there. You know,
yeah, for sure.
And I don't want it to come to that or anything.
Right.
The more attention, the more awareness we can bring to this stuff is not only, I think, our responsibility as a radio station, as a community, it is to support these things. And certainly to reminding our, you know, one of the other things that happens, and this happens a lot, I notice, with politics, but it really happens with a lot of other industries too, especially city-run industries. To mom and dads, the parents out there, the guardians out there, when you're talking about these industries, especially around kids, they're hearing how you talk about them.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know, regardless of how that conversation goes, that might skew how they are when they are older,
right,
and wanting to be a part of these things. I encourage people to remember that when you're thinking of this stuff, when you're talking about them. Certainly be yourselves. We're Americans. We're going to speak our minds. That's what we do around here.
Right.
But doing it with context, doing
right,
it with some understanding that it's not just you in the room, or it's not just you that is affected by that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I said it's such a big shift to make more of a family environment at the fire station, because like I said, you are seriously fostering the next generation of firefighters, I guess you'd say.
When it comes to being a volunteer and being a part of things, and we're going to touch on this a little bit later, but how people can find out more if they want to be involved. But when it comes to that process, if you're coming into it and you've never done anything like this before, and taking somebody like for the audience that doesn't know, I am 6'2", 6'1", and just skin and bones. I got muscle to me, but I mean, it's hard to tell. but somebody like me, I walk into that industry and I want to help. I want to be a volunteer. And even you can train even me. You can get even me get up and going on this.
Yep. Yeah. Anybody that wants to come in, you don't have to have any training at all. We'll send you to firefighter school to get you certified in firefighter, which takes about a semester of night classes. And you'll get from entry level all the way to Fire One and hazmat operations, which is basically the low end of the totem pole, I guess you'd say, because you can get up to firefighter too and hazmat technician and all those kind of things. But the semester long first intro into it is only, like I said, a semester long of evening classes. So it doesn't take a lot of commitment as far as that stuff goes.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you ever wondered what it takes to bring in a hot country artist to the county fair? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and we're going to talk about it this morning. Chris Hesse and Melissa Wolken join us from Variety Attractions out of Ohio. They are entertainment consultants and talent buyers for fairs and festivals. They tell me a little bit about the price tag for a hot country artist.
Your big names, are $1 million and more, and your mid-level acts are anywhere from, $50,000 to $200,000.
And all the up-and-comers are kind of in that, $20,000 range or less, or even $20,000 to $50,000. And then they're growing really quickly. That's a new trend we're seeing, is they're getting really popular really quickly. And so their prices are changing really quickly. And there's also the cost that goes into the production. It's not just the band itself. They got it catering. You have your lights and sound, the stage. There's a lot of different elements that go into putting on a show, and that's what we help our fairs with too.
A little behind the scenes from Chris Hesse and Melissa Wolken from Variety Attractions out of Ohio. They are entertainment consultants and talent buyers for fairs and festivals across the upper Midwest. And now the next time you visit a county fair concert, you know. We'll talk market news after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. Ahead of the weekend, dairy markets were mixed. AA butter down 2¾ cents at 244.5. That is below the week's average for price and the week before that. The 40-pound block cheese closed up 2¼ cents at $1.70.5. That was above that week's average and the week prior. As news around trade deals and tariffs continue to evolve, that's certainly going to play a role in the marketplace today. We're also expecting a few reports from the U.S. Department of Agriculture this week. This afternoon, the crop condition report could shake up the marketplace. And then Tuesday afternoon, we'll hear more about dairy production from USDA. For the Midwest Farm Report on a Monday morning, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to be dealing with more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to 63 tomorrow. More sunshine with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink, but there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710 and I can build the perfect package for your business.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us after 9:30 to break down the news in Wisconsin. Terry Barr in hour number two for Audio Sorbet. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Remember, you can stay up to date on what we're doing at Up North News by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. And while you're there, sign up for our daily newsletters. We've got a weekday issue. We've got our Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow politics newsletter that also includes our question of the week. And the question that we asked this past Sunday deals with what is now happening in Texas, where Republicans are, again, looking to rig their congressional maps further to put Democratic representation in the single digits in Texas, along with dozens of Republican members of Congress from Texas. Texas is a red state, but it ain't that imbalanced, but that's how they want to make the maps. Democratic legislators are saying, you know what, before you ram this through, we're going to deny you a quorum for a time, leave the state and call national attention to this, because it is what it is. It's corruption is what it is. And call attention to it. Now, folks in some blue states are saying, hey, two can play at that game. Maybe in California, they'll redraw the congressional map and, you know, get five more Democratic seats to offset five more Republican seats in Texas. The question is, should they? Is it a case of, you know, two wrongs don't make a right? Or is it a case of you got to do this because otherwise it's bringing a rubber band to a gunfight? What do you think? A lot of responses coming in already to our question of the week in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. There's a lot that's going to be said between now and next August about the Democratic primary for governor and who would be the strongest candidate. And should that candidate be, you know, a fire-breathing liberal? Should it be somebody who is extremely moderate and hits a lot of bipartisan tones? Will a Democratic primary be a healthy part of that process, or will it lead to a party that is fractured by those who want to go more to the left and those who want to go more to the center? There's no shortage of discussion about it. Certainly over the weekend, some of that talk was being heard in Milwaukee, where former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke held a town hall at the Washington Park Senior Center in Milwaukee. O'Rourke now has a voter organization group called Powered by People that is putting on these community conversations in spots all over the country. Speakers this past weekend included Devin Remicker, the new chair of the State Democratic Party. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and others also spoke at this. And again, the talk turns to whether Democrats have been too conciliatory. Have they been too willing to play by the rules? What is it that's going to go into making the next nominee for Wisconsin governor on the Democratic side as strong as possible? Well, to hear State Senator Kelda Royce talk about it in the Cap Times, there's so much conversation about it that she's wearing out her AirPods because of all the phone calls that she's been taking with friends and family and strategists and consultants and colleagues and donors. And she talked to the Cap Times newspaper in Madison all about it lately, including this line: I would say I'm very likely to run. I've had so many encouraging conversations with folks all around the state, and that's been really exciting and gratifying, Royce said. Now, that was not a full-fledged commitment, but it does take a lot to say, I would say I'm very likely to run, especially when you consider there's already Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez who's in the race. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley says he's going to announce that he's in the race. And for Kelda Royce, this would be her second time running for governor. The last time she ran was among nearly a dozen Democratic candidates in 2018 when that primary produced Tony Evers as the nominee, who beat Scott Walker and then served another term as well. But at this point, again, we don't have 12 Democratic candidates in the race yet, but we might. And Kelda Royce says she's not going to rush into making a decision or an announcement. She told the Cap Times, quote, "I don't think anybody needs a 13-month primary. We're going to have a robust, crowded primary. We have a lot of good people interested in running, and I think that's great. But I wouldn't be surprised if the field isn't even settled until the end of the year." Let me have one observation on that, and that's waiting till the end of the year. And again, it's all about the money. Part of the reason that candidates are urged to get in earlier and earlier is the need for donations, the need for these multi-million dollar races that are run. And if you wait too long, the donors are going to be happy with somebody else. It shouldn't necessarily be this way, because let me explain the timetable for you real quick here. Nominating papers aren't even due until June 1st of next year. It's on June 1st of next year that we'll find out how many people turned in nominating petitions with enough signatures from voters that they qualify to be on the August primary ballot. June 1st. So theoretically, somebody could announce they're a candidate in, you know, mid-May and for 2 weeks collect a ton of signatures and get on the ballot. But it doesn't work that way anymore because, again, people need those donations, and so they try to get in as early as possible. But Senator Kelda Royce is saying, look, it doesn't have to be next week. And Joe Sopecki told us as much last week when I told him, hey, I thought we'd have a lot more candidates for governor in this first week after Governor Evers announcing he wasn't going to run for a third term. And Joe Sopecki said, no, once you've got the first one or two candidates in, there really isn't any value in being, you know, say, the third candidate in the race. Just announce when you think the time is right. Once you've got all your ducks in a row and you're ready to start asking donors and voters for their support. So back to what Kelda Royce had to say to the Cap Times. She said you have this kind of dichotomy between how horrible things are at the federal level and the way the states are under attack by the Republican regime. We have an incredibly dangerous and authoritarian government in charge in Washington, D.C., but we are also at a point of incredible hope in Wisconsin, where for the first time in a generation, we could have a Democratic trifecta. We just can't afford to waste that. And I, of course, take interest in that, being a member of the last Democratic trifecta, which happened in 2009, after the 2008 elections, when Barack Obama was elected president. You had Jim Doyle as governor. You had a Democratic state Senate that I was in, a Democratic state assembly. But at the same time, you also had the Great Recession kicking off, thanks to a whole lot of factors from outside the state of Wisconsin. So it's been a long time since Wisconsin's had a Democratic trifecta where the economy also hadn't been, you know, previously tanked by right-wing policies. But as a result of that potential for a Democratic trifecta, you've got people like Kelda Royce and everybody else who might enter the race wanting to be extremely careful and plot out your moves carefully and think about your words carefully. But in that same Cap Times newspaper, there's also an editorial that notes that the 2026 gubernatorial nominee, in their opinion, must embody progressive values. With Republicans veering toward pro-Donald Trump cultishness, the Cap Times writes, the Democratic nominee in 2026 can unite voters on behalf of economic, social, and racial justice and a climate agenda that creates jobs while saving the planet. The Cap Times writes that in past elections, we've endorsed many of the prospective 2026 contenders. As the race heats up, we'll be looking in particular for a Democrat who is ready to run a winning progressive campaign and, once elected, to serve boldly. They talked to State Representative Francesca Hong, a Madison progressive, whose endorsement has been enthusiastically pursued by many Democratic gubernatorial prospects. And she describes such an agenda well when she says, quote, "With Governor Evers opting not to run for a third term, Wisconsin is headed for a crowded Democratic primary. There's a real opportunity here, not just to hold on to the governorship, but to reimagine what kind of a state that we want to be." She said, "We can learn a lot from candidates like New York City Democratic mayoral nominee Zoran Mamdani, who ran on a bold vision built on grassroots power and grounded in care." She said, "We need a candidate who understands the power of building a diverse and radically welcoming coalition." How do you like that phrase? A radically welcoming coalition. "We need someone ready to lead with a vision that puts people first, starting with what working class people are actually facing every day. That means real affordability in long-term care, child care, and health care. It means protecting public education, investing in affordable housing, and finally advancing progressive taxation rooted in our state's history. And it means being willing to name who's been hoarding power and who's been left out for far too long." Again, that's all from Fran Hong, Democratic Assembly member from the Madison area. And the thing is, the things that she's talking about, affordability in long-term care, affordable child care, affordable health care, protecting public education, and having progressive taxation, you know, where all the special favors in the tax code don't go to the wealthiest taxpayers. How the heck did that become a partisan agenda? There was once a time when Republicans fought for those things, too. They simply differed with Democrats on the degree of which to go there, the methods in which to go there. But Republicans used to consistently fight for things like affordable health care and education and things like that. So will a primary be good or bad? Well, coincidentally, one more article to share from the Cap Times. It's a column by John Nichols, the associate editor, who writes a column saying primaries are good for Dems. And again, that's not a universal thought that's out there. But John Nichols writes, "There's a notion among many political consultants and pollsters that crowded primaries only cause frustrations for the eventual nominee and the party. They tell us if partisans could just coalesce early around a single candidate for a top post, it will be easier to focus the message of party nominees, build campaign war chests, and take on November rivals." But with Evers deciding not to seek a third term, Democrats are all but certain to see a multi-candidate primary that will feature many of the most prominent figures on the party's crowded bench competing with one another. But the fact that there will be a number of Democratic primary candidates is not a problem. It's a measure of the party's renewal in recent years, and it's a strength going into the 2026 race. And he writes, it's also very much in keeping with the party history over the past five decades. And he goes on to list things like how Patrick Lucey came out of a primary in 1970, how in 1982, Tony Earle came out of a very tough three-way primary with Marty Schreiber and former Lucey aide Jim Wood. In 1992, there was Russ Feingold coming out of a three-way primary and then defeating Republican Senator Robert Kasten. Jim Doyle himself, back in 2002, became the nominee only after a primary that included Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk and Milwaukee Congressman and future Mayor Tom Barrett. So John Nichols writes, "Democrats who win competitive primaries do not always go on to beat Republicans in November, but primaries have rarely, if ever, been an impediment to party prospects." So I would conclude by simply saying, we're going to have a large field. Embrace it. The same goes for Republicans. You're going to have a large field. Embrace it. Talk about the issues. Talk about not just who espouses your principles, but also who can win. Weigh it all. Come up with the best nominee possible and show Wisconsin how you would best take care of them. A local update is next. With others, we'll talk to Superior Mayor Jim Payne about expanding broadband service up in Northwest Wisconsin. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000 plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net. www.northernpines.net.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Like I said, a semester long of evening classes. yeah. So it doesn't take a lot of commitment as far as that stuff goes. Obviously, once you start getting into like EMS, the medical side, that obviously takes more commitment, yeah, more time. But as far as the firefighting goes, a lot of that basic stuff that you'll learn in school, and then we'll teach you more on the job once you're actually at the fire department and working. And we get a couple structure fires, or we do some trainings, to kind of give you more of the bigger background than versus mm-hmm. just the minimal above what school will give you.
Really appreciate that. Dustin, before we move on, is there something or anything that you think that you've seen, whether it's in TV shows or movies or just in general in society, that when it comes to our firefighters that we kind of get wrong or maybe we just misunderstand? Because I know when I've talked to others in other industries similar, like, oh, yeah, there's this one thing or something.
Yeah.
You guys all have Dalmatians.
Is yeah, that right? We're always sitting on the chairs and playing cards at the station, you know, so... You know, those kind of things, obviously, we don't do. We're way too busy. Like this year, we're 50 calls ahead of last year at this time as far as how many calls we get at the department. And we cover 95 square miles for our department for fire and EMS. So, I mean, you take that plus people having families and their full-time jobs. Yeah. It's a big commitment for a lot of people to do. And I can't say enough good things about the people at Port that put in their time, or any of the volunteer departments, or even the, you know, police departments, the, you know, rapid fire, any of them, mm-hmm. you know, it's still a big commitment, even if it's not, or even if it is your full-time job.
Yeah.
Still takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. We appreciate you. You have, there's some events coming up with our Port Edwards Fire Department. I wanted to touch on some of those. Which ones you got coming up?
Yeah. So August 31st, from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., we partnered with the Port Edwards Police Department and the Elks Club of Wisconsin Rapids. And we're going to be hosting a bike rodeo. Along with that bike rodeo, we'll also be hosting a brat fry that we teamed up with the Port Edwards band, I don't know if they're band club, committee. I think it's a band club.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be hosting a brat fry with that bike rodeo. So in the proceeds from the brat fry, we're going to go directly to the band club, so that way I think they have a trip coming up this summer, I believe. I don't remember exactly where it's to, but all the proceeds from that are going to go directly to them, and then our athletic association from the fire department is also going to match whatever proceeds they make to do a donation to help pay and fund, just in case some kids that, you know, they're maybe they can't afford to go on this trip, hopefully we can help get more kids on it and just, you know, get our community more involved.
That's a very cool event. Sounds awesome. We'll be talking about it on our morning shows, making sure to promote it and get the news out there about that. That's fantastic to hear about. And you have another event coming up, and this one hits close to home for me. So there's I've learned more and more I get older that you got to choose your battles wisely. I try not to get too bent out of shape about everything and stuff, but there are certain hills that I'll die on. And
sure.
I really believe that every citizen should know CPR. Or the Heimlich, some of these techniques that really, there's no downside to knowing. The knowledge just stays back there, and hopefully you never have to use it. But if you do, man, how many times have we been in a situation or hollering for, hey, does anybody know this?
Right.
What a world it would be to just know that, hey, who's going to do it, actually?
Yeah.
You know, and people getting up and like, oh, you got it, or what have you. It's knowledge that everybody would be benefited from, that we could all use. And I think that it's something that... Hopefully, the farther we go along in this game of life and everything, that more and more people are knowing it, and the more and more the knowledge gets out there. You guys are doing something really cool involving this.
Yeah, so we're going to be hosting what I'm calling a community CPR event. So anybody from the community, Port, Nakusa, Rapids, it doesn't matter where you come from. I don't care. It'll be on September 6th from 8 to noon, but I'll be teaching actual CPR. It'll cost the person $10, which is just the cost of the card. So I send in the money and the info, and the card gets directly emailed to you after the class. But yeah, you'll learn CPR, the Heimlich maneuver on not only adults but kids as well, and you'll learn kids CPR as well as adult CPR. Just some good things, because I mean, if you look at statistics over the years, and when someone goes into cardiac arrest, that first 5 minutes, there's a good amount of oxygenated blood left in the body. And obviously us as first responders, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, we have to get the call. Then we have to show, you know, get there. So it's a huge thing to have someone in the community that's able to do CPR right away. It makes a huge difference on that person's outcome.
That's an interesting thing. I didn't know that. That's interesting stat. Looking forward to that one. We certainly will be highlighting that, and again, bringing that one up before it gets here. And Dustin, before we let you go, I did want to talk a little bit about something you touched on earlier. It sounds like you still got a little room on that roster for volunteers or for people that want to be a part of things over there. If people want to find out more or reach out to you, how can they do that?
They can reach out to me via email. My email is pefd.chief@portedwardswi.gov. Or you can call the station directly. The number to the station is 715-842-3421. Mm. In those ways, you can find out more about being a firefighter. You can also go on the Village's website. The Village's website, if you go on the Port Edwards under Fire Department, there's a job posting in there for firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that. It has the requirements. It has an application with it and who to email it to, which would be Scott Stewart, who is our PFC president. those are the easiest ways to do it. If you happen to be driving by the station and you see the doors open or vehicles in the parking lot, feel free to stop in and we'll give you a show around and even hand you an application if you want.
Dustin, I'm going to be there every day with disguises, making you guys like constantly show me around and everything. Like, it's James again. Just pretend you don't recognize. Oh, funny mustache. And just for the audience to know, if you're looking for that information, you can reach out to our staff here and we'll make sure you get it. Otherwise, I threw into the old search engine Port Edwards Fire Department and all of that popped right up for me, Dustin.
So perfect.
Encourage you to do it that way as well. If whatever's easiest for you, just reach out and certainly support our Port Edwards Fire Department. Whenever you see them at events or anything, come by, say hi, learn more about the great work that they're doing over there. Dustin, thanks so much. This was awesome. Yeah, thanks for hanging
appreciate
out.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate the time. And we appreciate all you being with us for another edition of WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic Care, WFHR.com.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ordered the civil arrest of Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to block passage of a new voting map favoring the GOP. CBS's Ed O'Keefe spoke with Republican State Rep Carl Tepper.
What would be your message to your Democratic colleagues who left town?
We still love you. We want to see you back in Texas.
But the Democrats say, not yet.
Massive wildfires are growing in the West, including one tearing through Los Padres National Forest north of L.A. Sacramento Metro Fire Captain Mark Nunez.
This is a very rapidly fast-moving fire through steep terrain with lots of dry vegetation. It takes a lot of personnel to take on something of this size.
Florida health officials say 21 people have gotten sick from E. coli by drinking raw, unpasteurized milk linked to the same farm. Six of them were under the age of 10. Seven have been hospitalized. You can only sell raw milk in Florida if it's labeled as pet food. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.